So if you have got your Bible with you, and you turn to that passage that Andrew read from Philippians chapter 4. Will there be a government inquiry, a public inquiry into the pandemic response? If you've been taking any interest in the news over the last few months, you'll know that the government is quite reluctant to do that at the moment. It's too soon, they say. We're too busy. Well, that as may be, but this morning I want to ask you, are we ready to carry out our own inquiry into what's happened during the last year? Those of you with good memories will know that I'm going through a series of the most read verses in the Bible, or at least the most read verses of the Bible in 2010, if you remember my error with the list. And today we've reached number 9. But if you've got very good memories, maybe you thought, haven't we heard this before? Well, you probably have heard this before, but haven't we heard a sermon about this passage in Philippians before? And didn't we hear it from Andrew? And the answer is yes, you did, on Zoom about a year ago, if you're with the church here at Highbury. And when I realised that, I thought, well, there's no point in repeating it. And then I thought, actually, maybe there is. So I want us this morning to think about Philippians 4 and verse 6 in particular, with this review in our minds. I want us to think back over the past year. How did we do? Especially if you heard the sermon a year ago. Not were the government's decisions right during the past year, but how did I cope? How did I cope personally? How did I cope spiritually? We were on Zoom and I used to get these pictures up and stick them on the screen with a short caption just to make it a bit more interesting than looking at my face. And you might remember the question, where is everyone? And a picture of a deserted Piccadilly Circus. And actually, everywhere was like Piccadilly Circus, not because it was chock full of people, but because there was no one outside at all during the lockdown. It was a proper full lockdown, wasn't it? And it was a very unsettling time with all these new things to learn about how we could live, how we had to live, the social distancing, the masks, the hand washing, all that sort of stuff. And we had loads of questions in our minds. How were we going to manage? We didn't know how events would pan out. And the verse that I brought to you then a year ago was Philippians 4 verse 6 with verse 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Pray for peace was the message. Peace is possible, even in a time of pandemic, even not knowing what the future holds, perhaps especially not knowing what the future holds. So this morning's question is, how did we manage? Were your health concerns over the past year supercharged? Because there are normal everyday health concerns, aren't there? I was with my brother in Phillipsdale the other day, standing outside a doctor's surgery, and one of his friends came along. How are you doing? Have you got an hour? And he's got cancer of blood and marrow. He's undergoing chemotherapy. That's normal, nothing to do with coronavirus, but the pandemic and the fear of the virus and the news of what was going on in the hospitals caused a lot of us a great anxiety, didn't it? Did you have money worries during the lockdown? Did you have a secure income, or was your job under threat? Was your income, your wages under threat? Maybe you had relationship pressures. Families stacked together with each other, and much, much more than usual, sometimes in not a very big space. Or you were on your own, You weren't able to connect with other people like you normally could. That isolation, did that cause you anxiety and concern? The loss of human contact, did you feel imprisoned? And it wasn't a steady year either, was it? It was a year of ups and downs. We can generally cope when we know how things are going to be, but it was very bad. And then it seemed to get better. And then the summer came, we thought, great, it's all over. And then there was another lockdown. And then Christmas is coming. Let's get into the shops, let's party. The third lockdown. Things seemed to be changing all the time. The rules seemed to be changing. Keeping up with it was stressful, was worrying. And there wasn't just a national crisis. It was a crisis across the world. And it still is. Think about India today. And there were wider world issues as well. The whole Black Lives Matter issue came up during the pandemic. Remember Donald Trump? Thankfully, we've more or less forgotten him, it seems. But during 2020, Donald Trump was big news, wasn't he? And he stirred our minds up, whether you were for him or against it. A bit like Brexit had done. So how much anxiety and how much peace did you know through 2020? How much prayer was there? And we have to be a little bit careful, don't we? Because we had varying experiences. Some of us had a much, much harder time than others. We don't want to be thinking about other people. The question this morning is, how did you respond? How did you do through 2020? As we think about that, the first thing we ought to do is to thank God. To thank God for prayers that were answered. To thank God for the peace that we did enjoy, that I guess for many of us went way beyond what we would have expected, never mind being beyond our understanding. God is a generous God, a gracious God. We expressed our gratitude as a country to those people who became called heroes, didn't we? People like Mike working in the NHS. I saw casualty for the first time for ages yesterday. Couldn't quite work out what was going on. And then I realised that the guys doing the operations have to wear a visor as well as a mask. Imagine that for a year. It wasn't just NHS workers, teachers and supermarket workers and bus drivers and the people who keep life going. We were grateful to them, weren't we? But how much gratitude did we give to God? Because surely most of us have come through much better than we would ever have imagined. And that's not been our own doing, has it? God has been at work. His peace is possible, and we've experienced something of that. The peace of God. The peace that comes from knowing him and trusting him. Peace that comes to us in Jesus Christ. We've known that basic peace of having a relationship with God because of what Jesus did on the cross. And many of us can think and speak of times when we've known that peace of God, not just forever, if you like, not just in terms of our salvation, but in terms of everyday living. God has been with us. God knows what we need, as Jesus told us in Matthew. And when we thank God for those things, then we're building our confidence for the future, aren't we? In Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul says, come to God, make your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. And the reason is that thanksgiving is going to help us as we pray on in the future. As we remember what God has done for us, well, we're going to ask for more. Thanksgiving is part of Christian growth, part of growing into Christian maturity. If we are always grumbling about what's wrong, we're not going to grow. If we are calling to mind what God has done for us and saying thank you to him, well, that's going to lead us into more prayer, isn't it? It's going to lead us to trust God in more situations. We will expect his help one way or another, much more than we did before. If we've experienced it and we've thanked him for it, we will gradually expect more, and God will give it. But we shouldn't be afraid to ask, what didn't go well in 2020? There are always lessons for us to learn. That's true in life generally, but it's especially true. It should be especially true for us if we're Christians. It might be quite painful to think back on some of the situations of 2020. Some of us have been through hard experiences, and some of us, if we're honest, have not managed and coped with those experiences very well. We don't have to hide from our failures. One of the lovely things about being a Christian is that there is always forgiveness from God as we face our sins and our failures honestly, and as we ask for his forgiveness and for his help, for his Holy Spirit to work in us, to change us. God always will welcome us back. But some of us have had harder experiences to go through, more difficult circumstances. Some of us have particular temperaments that are different, that make us more susceptible to things like worry and anxiety. But we shouldn't make excuses for ourselves if we haven't put Philippians 4 verse 6 into practice. If you think back on 2020 and you can recall times of great worry, great anxiety, and if you recall, I didn't come to God in prayer. I didn't do what I was told by Paul in Philippians 4. I didn't make my requests known to God. I struggled and was terrible for a long time. Well, if that was your experience, don't make excuses for it. God wants to teach you. He wants to teach all of us. Reflecting on how we have lived can lead us to be more aware in the days ahead. What God wants us to do is to make a more conscious effort more often to come to him with our needs, to present our requests to him about anything, about everything, so that we can know more of his peace. So let's think about what specifically happened. You'll have to fill in the details in your own mind. But were you anxious? Were you worried about specific things through 2020? And let's face it, there's going to be plenty to worry about in 2021. The pandemic might ease, but other things will come along. If you were anxious, if you were worried, what sort of things caused you to be anxious? Were there particular pressure points? Do you need to learn something from that? Did your anxiety lead you not to be gentle or reasonable? In verse 5 of Philippians 4, having encouraged the Philippian Christians to rejoice, Paul then says, let your reasonableness be known to everybody. Reasonableness, gentleness, was that you? Anxiety tends to undermine those things. And the impact is often seen and felt by other people, those who are close to us. When you were anxious, when you are anxious, does God come into the picture? Did you make your requests to God? Here are some thoughts to help us think through that. If you didn't pray, what did you do instead? And why didn't you ask God for his help when this promise, along with many others in the Bible, is there? Perhaps you don't have that fundamental peace with God that we've talked about already, that peace that comes from being a Christian, somebody who trusts in Jesus. Perhaps you're still at war with God. You're not going to have peace about the everyday things of life if you haven't got that fundamental relationship with God in heaven. Again, in verse 5, leading on to the words we've been thinking about, especially this morning, Paul says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. And you might think, well, that means the Lord is with us all the time. And that's definitely true. There's no escaping God's presence. And God is here to bless if we ask him. But probably Paul means something a bit more difficult, perhaps, to come to terms with. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is coming in judgment. And he's coming soon. Now, if you know your New Testament, you'll know that there are several mentions of the Lord coming soon. And this was 2,000 years ago, so he's not very quick, is he? And of course, Peter answers that in his second letter. Time with God is not time as we have it. But the point is that we should expect God to come. Jesus Christ will return in judgment. We will be accountable. And if we are still at war with God, then we will face eternity under God's punishment. So maybe you didn't come to God because you're not God's friend. You're not part of God's family, not part of God's church, because you haven't put your trust in Christ. And if that's you this morning, then there's one very simple thing you need to do before you can know any peace, and that's to repent. To acknowledge that you are a sinner, that you've broken God's law, that you don't deserve God's love, God's help, anything from God, but that Jesus has been sent as your saviour. Put your trust in him. But maybe you are a Christian and yet you were, well, reluctant to go to God with your prayers. Maybe there was something specific that kept you from praying sometimes. A sin you were holding on to. And the simple lesson there is that we can't expect to have a healthy, enjoyable relationship with our Father in heaven if we're being disobedient. So if you are holding on to sin, and if that keeps you from praying, the thing to do is to let go of the sin, to ask for forgiveness, and to have your full relationship with your Father in heaven restored. Sometimes troubles come to us so that we do realise that we have a bit of a broken relationship with our Father. And we need to put that right before the troubles can be dealt with. And there are plenty of Christians who will tell you stories about struggling for days and weeks and months, sometimes years, because they won't put right something particular in their life. And it spoils their peace with God. And it means they don't have access to his help in the same way during the everyday experiences of life. Maybe you're a Christian who is still much too independent. Maybe during 2020, when problems came along, you depended on yourself to sort them out. Some of us have a real difficulty in letting go. We don't like not to be in control. Poor old Phil, I wonder if he was anxious when I had the clicker in my hand and the song, first song came up, and you've got to move from verse 1 to verse 2. Will Andrew remember? I can imagine myself in Phil's situation thinking, oh, please, come on, just click it. A tiny little everyday anxiety, but we're like that. When we have to depend on other people, some of us are very bad at it. We need to be ready and able to depend on God. In every situation, in the biggest of things, sometimes we know we can't cope. Something is so serious. It's way beyond us. Other things are so small, so trivial. I can sort it out. How often do you turn to God in the ordinary stuff? Yes, we have responsibilities, don't we? We're not simply to pray to God and just get on and just hope everything works out all right. Often there are things that we need to do. Part of God's answer to our prayer will be to enable us to do certain things. Yes, we're going to have our own responsibilities. And it's important for us to think through issues. Some of us were terrified of catching the virus. Others of us sort of did the maths and worked it out. And realise that actually the chances are still pretty low. Reason can certainly help you in ordinary everyday situations, but it can only take you so far. And what we learn from Paul in Philippians is that true peace If we want true peace, always the way is to come to God. And we can do that with the big things. And we can do that with the small things. And the more we do it, the more we will know his peace and his blessing. So whenever you find yourself being anxious about anything, Paul is saying, doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter when it is, doesn't matter where it is, come to God. Don't be independent. Don't try and sort it yourself. Sometimes we don't go to God because we doubt that he is able, that he wants to provide the specific solution that we want to our problems. Perhaps we feel we don't deserve it. Well, that's a good feeling, and it's true. But God is a God of grace, and grace is God's blessing to those who don't deserve it. We qualify, absolutely, every single one of us. Perhaps we have something specific in mind, and we've asked God for it, and he hasn't given it to us. And so we think he's not really listening, or he can't do it. And we forget that actually God knows far better than we do. When Paul says, come to God, present your requests. Present the need, present the burden, present the problem. But we're mad if we come to God and tell him all the answers. He'll know a much better solution than we can possibly come up with. So, if you didn't pray, there's every reason to think about changing that. Because the promise is here, isn't it? The peace of God, which passes understanding. How are we going to change our lives to bring prayer into it in a way that's new? Well, do you remember Daniel, when he was in trouble, carried on praying 3 times a day. Most of us eat something at least 3 times a day. Maybe this is a bit harder if you're in a family situation, but especially if you're on your own, just before you come to eat, what a good thing to do, to just review what's happened in the day, to think ahead, what's coming up, and add a quick word with God about those things, trusting him to help you. Pray and eat. Not a bad idea, right? We can always pray just at the drop of a hat. Do you remember the story of Nehemiah? Suddenly presented with an opportunity to speak to the king about the situation of his people, devastating back in the homeland. It's all gone wrong. It's on Nehemiah's heart. The king says, what's wrong? And there's a quick prayer to God. And then Nehemiah gets on and tells the king. And that's a brave thing to do. But he's asked for God's help. And God gives it. We can do that anytime. Maybe you want to make a habit at the start of the day, the very first thing you do, to think through what's coming up. And to entrust it to God. Maybe you can use sort of dead time, the time when you're not really doing much in your brain and you're not doing much with your body. Maybe you're on the bus going to work. What do you do? Well, sort of the time just drifts, doesn't it, often? And you're thinking about all sorts of things. Well, think about things with God. Talk about things with him. All sorts of opportunities. When you go for a walk in the park, I used to try to do that during the pandemic, walk from my house to Regent's Park and walk around the park. On the way to the park, I'd see so many things that the council weren't getting right, and it would bug me something rotten. And I would get to the park and I wouldn't have talked to God at all. Wasn't that terrible? I was trying. And we can do that with time that we have. It's not just a matter of forcing time, finding new time. Often there are dead moments in our days when we could use that time to build our relationship with the God who will hear and answer our prayers. But maybe some of you are thinking, well, I struggled for a long time with some situations and I didn't have peace and I did pray. What was all that about? Well, I can't guarantee to give you the answer. But I do remember a chap we used to have in our church in Soho. He came to us once and brightly told us what his doctor had told him. He'd gone about a particular complaint and had gone through all the various things. And then the doctor had diagnosed the issue. You're a worrier, Mr. Preston. And the doctor got it spot on. He really was a warrior, old Paul, about various things that were wrong with his body. It was true. And some of us are like that spiritually. It's just our temperament. We are warriors. And we need to learn not to worry. Because God isn't a little child. You let a child do something, but they're not really ready for it. And maybe he's riding a bike. Just about got onto the bike and they can just toddle off, but you don't trust them, you're anxious about it, and you're probably running around behind them. I remember that with our kids. It takes a while before you think, oh yeah, they can do it, can't they? God isn't a little child. He doesn't need us running after him. He's the almighty creator. He's the one who knows all things. He's not a new colleague at work, a trainee who's got a lot to learn. You give them a job to do, but then you've got to micromanage it to make sure it turns out all right. That's not God. God is the one whose foolishness is wiser than your wisdom. We're the ones who have to learn. We have to learn to trust him. Remember that what we're promised is the peace of God. The God who is willing to give us his peace. The God who is able to give us his peace. God really does forgive our sins when we trust in Jesus. We have peace with God forever. And there's the promise of peace in anything and everything in Philippians 4 and verse 6. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples just before he went to the cross. John 14:27. Peace I live with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. That's the voice of God speaking to us. My peace I give to you. If you're a worrier, then you need to think about the God who says, I can give you peace. He can do it. He will do it. You need to let him do it, almost. Let me close with just one or two examples from my own experience last year. Not because I'm a great prayer, but because God is a great and a kind and a gracious God. During the summer, it became clear that my mum in particular needed to be looked after. Dementia. My dad already diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And we just hadn't been able to get her to go to the doctor to get a diagnosis for the last couple of years. And I had to go home in June and try to get her to go to get that diagnosis. And I couldn't do it myself. We knew it was going to be a problem. It was something that we had to pray about. And it went beautifully. All the fears, all the things that could have gone wrong. Now, the week following that, my mum was terrible. But the week of the two visits to the doctor, she was as good as gold. That was an answer to prayer. That was peace from God in a very practical situation. I had to take her into a care home. She didn't really know where she was going. And because of the pandemic, all we could do was ring the bell. The door opened. In you go, mum. And the door closes. That was really quite hard, but God gave us peace about that. And thank God, the place that she's gone to, my dad followed a week later because he couldn't cope at home on his own, has turned out to be just the right place for them. They're well looked after. And this last week, when I went back to visit for the first time for probably 6 months, again, what would it be like to see mum and dad? Well, we had a lovely hour sitting in a room stacked up with boxes. I don't know why they made this room the room for visiting, but anyway, mum and dad, an hour in which they were both very happy. They really enjoyed the visit. There's not much they can tell me about stuff. They can't remember, they don't know, but I can talk, and I did, and they enjoyed it. And then later on in the week, took mum for a walk for the first time. Again, all sorts of things could have gone wrong with that. I don't want to go out. I'm not going back. When I get back, I'm really cross and angry and stroppy and upset with dad, perhaps. It was a lovely hour walking along the seafront at Felixstowe. Now, in all of that, I knew, our family knows, that we're not capable of, of making sure things turn out well. But we've trusted God, and he's blessed us with his peace. In our church life, we've had an opportunity to get involved with people where we thought they were homeless to begin with. Turns out half of them weren't, but they were needy in different ways. It's been quite an adventure the last 6 months or so. We've learned a lot. It's certainly had its moments. The afternoon when one of the guys came along and he'd had a bit to drink and he was as in your face as he could possibly be. I don't think, even in the worst possible world, he would have hit me. But it didn't feel like that at the time when I was trying to chuck him out. And yet God has given us a peace about doing those things that, again, isn't natural. And here's the thing, that peace has come not always in answer to prayer, at least not my prayer. God is gracious. God gives, even when we don't ask sometimes, don't depend on that. But God is gracious, and plenty of other people have been praying for both those sorts of situations. Doesn't that tell us how we can help one another in the family of the church to pray for those things that we know are troubles to others? So I can't claim that there was no anxiety through the year, but I can claim that I've known the peace of God in real life, and that's been a blessing. And many of you will have stories to tell of the same sort of thing. They're great things to share with one another when there's the opportunity. And I want to encourage you this morning to believe that you can know that same peace as you know that same God. So, to come to a conclusion, the world will move on. There'll be new stuff to worry about. Philippi in the first century, 2020 London during a pandemic, any place, every time, it doesn't matter when, there will always be problems and there will always be worries and anxieties for us as human beings. There'll be memorials, won't there? If you've walked along the South Bank opposite Parliament, there's a long wall with thousands and thousands of red hearts painted on it and the names of different individuals. St. Paul's Cathedral is planning a digital remembrance book and a place for people to come and remember. So there will be reminders of the pandemic, but the world will move on. It may not be business exactly as usual, but there's not going to be any fundamental spiritual change in our society. It doesn't seem, does it? People are going to carry on living their lives without God, still not seeing their need of God. Their need of God now for everyday life, but even more, their need of God in the face of death, because after death comes the judgment. But that's the world. What about you? What about us? We're older. Are we any wiser? We're going to have memories, aren't we, of the pandemic? Very vivid memories, perhaps. There are going to be real scars for some of us. But what a blessing if we've experienced more of the peace of God because of the troubles we've been through. What a blessing if the lessons that we've learned will bring us closer to God in the days to come. So the message today is the same as it was a year ago. Perhaps we've got more experience behind us to put it into practice. But the message is very simple. Don't worry. Pray. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're going to close with a song that helps us to look to Jesus, who is the one who guarantees